District.
Again, you're listening to live coverage of the 2020 Texas Alliance for Water Conservation Water College. Congressman Jody Erickson about to...
Cameron, thank you. Great to be back home in West Texas. God bless West Texas. And God bless the great United States of America. Thanks for the privilege of serving our great country and for being your voice in our nation's capital. These are tumultuous times, but they are consequential times. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else working for anybody else than you guys. And I'm talking about our producers. I'm talking about the entire ag ecosystem, those that are training the next generation of agriculturalists, of ag economists, of agriculture scientists, the new discoveries that help us be more efficient and productive. The list goes on. But we are all things agriculture all the time. And you know what? This nation has been abundantly blessed as a result of what we do here in West Texas, at the campus of Texas Tech, in the College of Agriculture and Natural Resources, and out there in the dusty fields where the producers are putting the plow in the ground. Amen? I'm honored to be with you, among you, and here at the conference. President Skouvenek asked me to speak on the history and constitutionality of presidential impeachment, but I decided that I wanted to talk about conservation. I hope that's okay, Lawrence. Lawrence is a good guy. He's just a good person, and he's got a great heart for Texas Tech and those students, and he loves West Texas, and I enjoyed working with you for those years I was at Texas Tech. Those were great years, fun years, and we made a difference there. And shout out to Kent Hance for all he did in that regard. Rick Kellison, my goodness, you talk about a forerunner. You talk about an exemplar in ag research. And the thing I love about Texas Tech and the College of Agriculture is how practical we are about discovery. Now, I'm all for basic research. I get it. They're the building blocks that will radically and revolutionary changes to our industries and economies. But what we're doing in partnership with producers and producer groups in the state of Texas, in this case, and with the Texas Alliance for Water Conservation, to find a way to make this Ogallala water go as long as it can to maximize the impact of our God-given resources. As we say in West Texas, ain't nobody knows how to maximize resources. Ain't nobody knows how to steward our God-given natural resources. And ain't nobody knows how to manage this environment for its maximum impact on humanity than the American farmer. Nobody. Now, here's what I'd say. We're all in this boat together in terms of making sure that these resources are here for the next generation of farmer and rancher. And the farmer naturally is going to know that he has a very direct, very imminent stake in water resource, soil resource, environmental management and stewardship. But he's got to turn a profit. And if he don't turn a profit, then we don't get food on the table. And if we don't get food on the table, then we've got to import our food from another country. And being anything but 100% agriculture independent, anything less than the most affordable, safest and abundant food supply is unacceptable for the great United States of America. So, that means every citizen in this country benefits from what the producers are doing and how we're managing and stewarding our resources. That means the state of Texas does. And that's why we're here. Right? We're all in this together. It's what the Constitution says in the preamble, the general welfare of the public, or as we say in Texas, the public good. So the farmer needs some help because we're all in this in terms of sustaining this environment. And I think we're doing a good job, and I think there are always things that we can do better. But Rick, thanks for all you guys do. And Water Development Board, Cameron, your guys, 15 years of this project, you can quantify, you can measure the impact with these conservation strategies and the efficiency of our water use. There are not a whole lot of things I can quantify and manage sometimes in where I work in Washington, right? There's a lot of noise and a lot of talk, but very few times can I measure the impact for my fellow countrymen. What these guys are doing is allowing us to continue to have $100 billion ag economy for the great state of Texas. And we thank you for that. We appreciate it. Give it up for the Water Development Board and their commitment to you all and our state's commitment to the producers out here on the High Plains. Dean Brown, Dr. Ritchie, my friends at PCCA, Kevin Brinkley, got to visit with him. Thank you guys for all your support. I appreciate coming alongside of me from day one. Got to get that farm bill. Got to get cotton back in the safety net. Title one, job one. First and last priority in that first year was getting cotton, that cotton hole fixed and getting us a good farm bill. And I'm proud of the farm bill that we were able to pass. There's no such thing as perfect legislation, but it's a good, effective, and responsible farm bill for the American people. The safety net's more reliable, I would argue, and my producers tell me as much. Imagine with the depressed prices and the trade fallout and the cost and the uncertainty. Imagine, Kevin, all of this had we not had that Title I fix and gotten the farm bill done. So God bless Mike Conaway, wherever you are today, for your leadership on that. And boy, I enjoyed working with him. And there are lots of things in that farm bill, but obviously a big component of it is, I think of it as stability, that's the safety net, sustainable infrastructure, and stewardship. And the conservation piece of that is not insignificant. We just don't talk about it as much. We've increased the investment in the public good of environmental stewardship by $6 billion a year for the next 10 years. Folks, that's not a small amount of investment from the taxpayers of this country. And I think we've made some programs like EQIP better, more flexible, more producer, put more money. That a big chunk of that $6 billion increase is in the EQIP program, where the game plan for stewardship is not top-down mandates and regulation. It's producer-led, producer-incentivized, and the flexibility to choose the things that are going to have the maximum impact on your farming operation. And I think that's the way to do it, Lawrence. I think there's a place for regulation, but we're not going to mandate and regulate our way there. We've got a cost share arrangement in EQIP. We've got a cost share arrangement in the RCPP, and that's a good thing. We all have skin in the game. The states are making investments. The federal government and our taxpayers and our fellow Americans are making investments, and the producers are. And I think that's good because they'll only do it where they need it. They'll do it where they can have the greatest impact, and they'll transition off when they can transition off. That's good policy. Can I get an amen on that? $6 billion a year in additional investment, EQIP, RCPP, PL 566. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about, and I don't either. but I do. The PL566, what is that? Watershed. Rex, where are you? What is that? Watershed. How many times you chew on my ear about watershed and our dam improvements? But you didn't stomp your foot and say, my dam improvements. But there is a dam system and water infrastructure that is extremely dilapidated in the great state of Texas. And if we're going to feed the world and certainly provide food security to the United States, we need the United States to do their part in water infrastructure, watershed protection, the flood prevention, and this sort of dam rehabilitation. $50 million a year. I think the 14 bill was $250 million. This is $250 million for the 10 years. This is $500 million for the 10 years. This may be the biggest and best. I'm going to start sounding like President Trump. You know, this is the biggest and the best. But I think it is maybe the biggest, best, greenest farm bill that we've ever passed. And we need that help, and it is appropriately and responsibly committed. And so those are the things in terms of conservation, Rick, that, listen, I believe that that's part of our job. I believe that's part of the general welfare of the public. I don't believe in top-down Washington knows all regulating our way into the, out of this. I believe in innovation that created an ocean of natural gas that has caused carbon emissions and greenhouse gas emissions to be reduced far greater than any country in the world that, by the way, we would give a pass in terms of their carbon emission because we're the great laboratory of innovation in this country. So let's incentivize innovation. Let's incentivize responsible stewardship, and let's collaborate and coordinate and partner with industry, not be antagonistic. Why would you cut off the hand that feeds you? Why would you cut off the other hand that fuels this economy and makes this, Rex, the land of opportunity? Their people are dying to come to America. They want a piece of this freedom, and they want a piece of this incredible quality of life and the opportunities that we're blessed with abundantly. How blessed, you say? 1 million more jobs than we have people to fill them, because we have an economy that is booming, not necessarily with rural America. There's some issues that we'll talk about that is in a lagging effect for rural America. But let's champion and cheer this country on. We have the most competitive economy in the world for the first time in a decade by the World Economic Forum. Not because some politician thought of some great program, and not because we mandated greatness. It's because we believe the greatness of America was in we the people. And we unleashed that by taking a little bit of that burden in tax and regulation off the people, the hands that feed us and fuel the economy. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. My framework, going to Washington on your behalf for a more prosperous future in rural America, was not just a good, strong, reliable safety net and farm bill with infrastructure and conservation for our environment. I want to hand the country to my children, not just safer and freer. I want to hand it with cleaner air, cleaner water, and a cleaner environment. I make no bones about that. We ought to have high standards, but it's the way we go about it that will determine whether we're producing the outcomes that are really good for society. And we've got to do better at balancing that. I think we've been able to achieve some of that in the Farm Bill. But it's not just the Farm Bill. It's freer markets and fairer trade. We just talked about the tax cuts. I'm not here to promote tax cuts anymore. I understand that rural America is not getting quite the traction, and we're not hitting on all the cylinders that the country is as a whole. Part of that, and a big part of that, is trade. Some of that is supply and demand. But some of that is things that are outside of the control of the producers in this room. They could have never planned for the trade war with China, for example. The uncertainty with NAFTA, now USMCA. But the reason I transitioned on Ways and Means, the Ways and Means Committee, Lawrence, twofold. Number one, I came into this deal saying I want to be more than just a vote for rural America and for my producers. There's not a more powerful committee with greater influence. And if you're not at the table, you're on the menu with respect to Ways and Means. That was number one. Number two, a farm bill is imperative because it is survival for these guys. But, Kevin, as you and I both have talked about, I don't want to talk about survival all the time. I want to talk about the problem, not just of volatility in the weather and volatility in the markets. I want our problem to be that we've got so many new customers, we don't know how we're going to produce all the product. And that purchase agreement with China is extraordinary. I'm just telling you, it's not going to turn on for you right now. I get it. That's what I'm telling the president and his staff. It's what I'm telling the secretary and his team. That 50% reduction in our market share in China doesn't just come on because we signed a phase one trade deal. So please, Mr. President, continue to plow the tariff revenue back in a smart way and temporary way to smooth out this rough patch, to connect from here to that greener pasture in that phase one deal. Right? It just sounds like too much West Texas common sense to me. And I'm telling you, the president gets it. He loves our farmers, and he's been right there with us every step of the way. But you know what's remarkable? It's not that the president is with our farmers as much as it is that our farmers are with our president. I read a headline the other day that said that the approval rating among farmers and this president is as high as it's ever been. Now, Rick, I don't want to sit here and, you know, break up and choke up in front of all my friends, but think about that. What I submit to you guys, far, far, far greater than the product that these guys are shipping around the country and the world, far greater than the commodities that certainly have an impact on our economy, are the values and the culture and the heritage that they represent as the heartbeat of this country. Bedrock values of hard work, of faith, of family, freedom, love for their neighbor, humility. That is what the farmer represents to this country. That's why we need to do all these things I'm talking about all the more, not just because of the food security, etc. But what's amazing in that statement that the farmers are with the president at the highest levels is that they're willing to make the sacrifice. They're willing to take the fallout. They're willing to give up a little bit of their today for the tomorrow of their children and for this country. I had a farmer come up to me. Bunch of guys from, y'all know, I'll give you the names of all them. But anyway, we had a bunch of guys from Cochrane and Bailey and Howard and other guys. Saw some of them before I came up here. I was doing a little deal in my office where we videoed kind of an interview so that the rest of the world, the country, could appreciate those values as articulated from the horse's mouth. Not just from their mouthpiece, but straight from the producer. Right off the tractor. I mean, they didn't have slick and glossy leave-behind materials. They didn't have talking points. They weren't a part of this trade group or that lobbying group. Nothing wrong with all that, but I'm just saying they just came up there for love of country. And you know, they were the most gracious people. They helped me for my future, representing you about as much as anybody, because they didn't have an agenda. They said thank you a lot to my colleagues, and they just wanted to tell their story. and it was powerful. I'll never forget, one of those old boys came up to me after that meeting, after that little video interview, and he said, "Listen, I hope the president takes China by the throat and that he brings them to the table or he breaks them. And if that means I'm bankrupt for this country, then so be it." And you tell him I said that. Now, this president doesn't want to bankrupt a single farmer. And times are tough and the fallout's real and the pain is real. But we can be smart and we can get through this. Where phase one is significant, but we need to go all the way. But that just tells you, Lawrence, Rick, at their core, it's those values and the character that is the backbone of this great country. And we can't lose it. That's all I know. So we can't lose it. Okay. I forgot what I was supposed to say. What? Impeachment? I'm not going to pitch you guys on why USMCA is a good deal, but 170,000 jobs for this country ought to be enough. Some stability and certainty in this economy for us, do no harm for the producers down here. I think that was our main objective. But we're all for one and one for all when it comes to the farmers in this country. And the dairy guys were getting squeezed out of the Canadian markets. And today, because of USMCA, they stand to gain close to $300 million in revenue, almost a 50% increase. All for one, one for all. And the China deal is historic. I'm more concerned about the structural issues, Kevin, quite frankly, like the IP theft and the forced transfer technology agreements and the currency manipulation and the dumping cheap product on the market to manipulate and cause the distortion. And I could go on. I want that behavior to change for the long run. But in the short run, it's awfully nice to have a president who will negotiate from strength and not apologize for it and actually come to the table with the expectation and even demand that the American farmer, the American manufacturer, and the American people get a fair shake, have an even playing field, and that all play by the same rules. Because that's how we do it in America. And that's what we expect. But you know what? I've never seen a politician go the distance with China. I'm not saying we're there yet, but we've never had one go even this far. Because what I can tell you, and I'll close with this, is lacking in Washington, is not new ideas, even for conservation of our natural resources, not for ideas on temporary trade relief. We're not short on ideas in this country. We're short on political courage from our political leadership. And I'm not saying that I endorse everything this president says or tweets. I don't. But I tell you, his heart is in the right place, and he's got this country going in the right direction. And I've never seen anybody stay the course and go the distance with China. And the rise of communist China is the greatest threat, long-term, in my opinion, existential threat. We got our own problems internally. It's the greatest threat, Rick. And they've done awfully well on the backs of our producers and at the expense of our manufacturers. And this president says, no more. No more. He's reluctant in conflict with our military, but boy, I know I'm going off topic, but I just want to say, isn't it nice to have American strength restored in the leadership of this country? The world depends on a strong America. The world depends on a strong America. And our enemies take us seriously. They respect us, if not fear us, and our enemies believe us when we say we're going to do something. And in places like the Middle East and people like the leadership of Tehran and Beijing, that means something. appeasement and trade deals, appeasement and all this has been naive and it's failed us. And this president is probably the most reluctant commander-in-chief to use the military as any Republican I've known in my lifetime. I even opposed him withdrawing troops from Syria prematurely. I opposed him for that. He doesn't want to spend an ounce of American troops' blood. He doesn't want to put one soldier in harm's way if he doesn't have to. But if you cross his red line, you'll rue the day you ever did. Because that's the way it works. In the streets and in the playground of the world where there are a lot of bullies and bad people that need to be kept in check. And I don't see anybody stepping up to do that. I hear a lot of talk, but I see very few people that'll step up and just pop somebody in the mouth when they need it. God bless America. Thanks for letting me be with you. I'm happy to take a question too, but Cameron looks like he's going to come up and steal this mic because he's worried that I may even talk about something that would not be relevant to conservation. I'm trying to conserve our freedom. I'm trying to fight to conserve our freedom because, quite frankly, Rick, what made us the most powerful and most prosperous and most generous nation, and our generosity is also the blood of our troops that has spilled around the world to keep this world stable and safe. All of that is because God's blessed America, but also because we're the freest country on the face of the planet and in the history of the world. So let's conserve our resources, but God help us if we don't conserve our freedom, because that is the heart of American exceptionalism. That is the heart of this experiment in liberty and democracy. So let's fight for that while we're fighting for all these other good things. Thank y'all.